This is Managing Mayhem,
brought to you by two lawyers and a layman.
Because good intentions are not a legal defense.
Wait, I'm sorry, they're not? Okay, well, let's get going then.
Hello, and welcome to Managing Mayhem with Patty, Jeff, and Jack. What's going on, you guys?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Another mayhem-free Monday, hopefully.
So far, right? So good.
It's early.
The pod release is at 4 in the morning, mountain time. So if you have mayhem at that hour, you have problems.
Actually, don't call us. Call somebody else.
Also, the pod is now on YouTube, so we have to actually bathe and, you know, look pretty
right.
I know,
acceptable.
You have to see us.
You're forced to.
So today we are going to talk about the jerk at work.
Oh, no.
They're amongst us. They're in every office. They're in the break room. They're at meetings.
They're on the playground.
They're lurking.
Lurking.
That's right.
It's interesting because if you talk to friends, family, everyone has a jerk at work, unfortunately.
Yeah, I can't think of any environment that I, like, work-wise, that hasn't had somebody that I was like, you know, I can't deal with it.
Not good. Right. We looked at some surveys and overwhelmingly, the survey showed, I think the most recent survey, 83% of respondents say they have worked with a jerk in the last 5 years. So,
yeah, that
makes
sense.
I'm just wondering who are the other 17%?
The lucky few.
They're all freelancers. they work by themselves.
I make bracelets now.
Right. I don't know, unless they're the jerk and they're just not aware.
Right.
Undocumented jerk.
Our office is fine. It's great.
I'm perfect.
Denise, where's my coffee?
Seriously. Denise is your cat.
Right.
I think that the jerk at work, even though we joke about that phrase a little bit, tongue in cheek, but it is a real problem because it causes distractions, obviously mental health issues, stress, retention,
gets in the way with collaborating.
Yeah. Productivity goes down. Oh, it's a big issue. And we're not talking about just, you know, complaining about someone who, you know, that you're just kind of thin skinned and everyone bothers you. We're talking about like someone who is actually a jerk at work. I mean, we're talking about they're arrogant, they're patronizing.
Okay.
A lot of times I see them in somewhat of a position of power, or they're really good at their job, and so they feel they can do what they want. They can order people around.
Even when they're not the supervisor.
Right.
Just, you know.
Yeah, enough.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to get people to a breaking point where they're just like, if people are going to be jerks, then fine, I can go there.
Right.
Or I'm going to quit. You know, and I'm just going to leave because I'm not going to deal with that.
Yeah, but you know, grass isn't really greener on the other side, apparently, if it's every workplace.
Right.
No, you're not safe in your own home with your own pets.
Right. And that's why it puts it on you as managers in HR, where, you know, you have to talk. You're going to have to address it. You're going to have to address the jerk at work.
Right. And this is all stuff that just happens at work, right? Like, this stuff isn't behavior that's after work or anything.
Well, it happens in the real world, but we're just going to talk about
on the clock.
On the clock work, no off-duty conduct, none of that.
Okay.
That's a whole different can of worms. But for today's purposes, on the clock work.
Okay.
On the clock attitude.
What are some of the specifics of the kind of jerk we're dealing with?
Good question, Jack. Not a jerky question.
No, we're dealing with someone. Okay, put yourself in the mindset of the manager or HR. This is the jerk is someone who you've received multiple complaints from multiple people, not just one person who is reporting all the time. You've even observed some of the behavior. It's clearly they're not just having one bad day. It's not a one-off. There's some sort of pattern.
Yeah, it's not just like a day where I'm like over-caffeinated and agitated in the corner.
Right.
The
or under-caffeinated and agitated.
which is worse.
Right.
It's like, get out! Like, Gollum is like eating a raw fish on my desk.
A dark office.
Yeah.
Jack, the lights are a little dim in here.
Leave!
And even if you're that man, I'm ignoring you guys on Gollum, but even if you don't see Gollum, you're receiving complaints about Gollum, or
you can feel
Gollum amongst you, or you see people weeping. You know, they're upset. Mm-hmm. It's contagious. They're ticked off too. You know,
They all cried boo-hoo.
Well, and this person, you know, that we're talking about today, they're an equal opportunity offender. They're negative to everyone. They're gossiping about everyone. They're sending emails in all caps to everybody. You know, it's not just specific towards one person.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So someone's just being a jerk to everybody all the time in a bunch of different ways.
The reason that's important, and I never would want to be in court and have to say, well, they were just an equal opportunity pig to everyone. That would be
our favorite defense.
But it's important to say, because they're not targeting someone. This isn't harassment, like racial harassment, sexual harassment. Right. This is, like you said, the spewing negativity on people. And sometimes it's not even clearly a violation of your respectful workplace policy. They're not using the F-bomb. They're not calling people names. It's just they're right there, just making it miserable for everyone, but kind of floating before a policy violation. Right. So
okay, so if it's obviously a problem, like no one wants to go near the office, near the workplace, in the store, why are managers so apprehensive to address it?
Well, I think there are a couple things. First, as Patty just said, a lot of times the conduct doesn't rise to a clear violation of workplace, you know, a violation of the respectful workplace policy.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think a lot of times managers also see this person, they're usually a high performer or they're highly specialized and they don't want to touch them.
Right.
They're thinking, well, this guy is doing great with his performance.
I'll just take a different route to the coffee maker.
Right. Like, okay, everybody, this is how to avoid Bill because, you know, but he does great. He gets a lot of customers.
He's pretty angry right now.
Right. The other thing is I saw some comments, and this is kind of covering some of those myths, you know, or maybe bad practices. I don't know which one they are. One is the protected high performer, but the other one is, there were a lot of comments. I was surprised how many books there are out there about the jerk at work or, you know, addressing rudeness. But some of the comments said, well, it's just a personality trait, so I can't discipline it or coach it or approach them at all. Hmm. That's a myth, because it actually is a behavior. It's a conduct. So that would be another reason, though, I think managers are hesitant. It's like, well, that's just Bill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just Bill. Okay, Bill's got a knife to their back.
Don't hurt me.
Bill's not a problem.
Bill is not a problem. Everyone respect Bill.
He's amazing.
Everyone's got a deadbolt and mace at their desk.
I think another reason why managers are hesitant to act on people who are being jerks is the person might be a member of a protected class or have a disability and they're receiving an accommodation, and they, you know, the manager is like, well, I can't discipline them if they're the only woman on the team, and they're going to turn around and say it's discrimination, or they're going to turn around and say it's because I have a disability and I'm receiving an accommodation. And so I think managers are hyper aware of, you know, employees turning around and suing them, because we see it all the time. I mean, that's
often
enough where I can understand why managers are hesitant to actually discipline if someone's part of a protected class or has a disability.
Someone's like, hey, Jack, you're being rude. I'm like, you're saying I'm gay?
Right. Exactly. What?
Excuse me. No, wait. God.
You know, at the end of the day, what we want to empower managers with are that you're stripping all that away and you're just basing it on the conduct and not worrying about the optics of what they could
what claim. It could come off like. Right.
Right. Because I don't want you to be held hostage to, because everyone has their own protected class. Everyone has their own. So I think the key is here to not think, oh, well, they're out of bounds because they just got back from family medical leave, or they have a workers' comp.
You're actually treating them differently because they're in a protected class.
Preferential. And
it's gonna get you on the back end.
You can't win. You can't win.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it seems like if you start just documenting the facts of it, like I feel like when people are scared of like, oh, it's going to look bad or whatever, it's like, well, maybe it's because the manager has a different opinion of them because they're in a protected class, and that needs to be checked. They need to be documenting them just like everybody else. So then when they do have to say something, then it's actually backed by stuff that isn't protected class information.
Right. And that's
CIA,
why
protected information class 101 to CIA. It's the FBI and the 212.
Well, that's what do you do? You have this person, you know, we've gone through some of the myths or whatever you want, the
it's
misnomers.
Like a dementor.
Right.
It's
what
really
do you do
in
now?
A fantasy world today.
That's okay.
We're
that's
deep
okay.
into Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings lore right now. Right.
It's like the only way I can relate.
So I think you're right. We've already established we know this person's a problem. Yeah. You know, right. we know they're not treating others kindly or they're being a jerk. The first thing is I just want to step back a little bit. If you can. And I know right now we're not at that because you've already determined you have a jerk in the workplace. But yeah. right. I want everyone to think about when they're hiring going forward, not to hire the jerk in the first right. place. And so I don't want that lost on anyone first, because I think people knowingly hire people that are jerks. And that is because they have low unemployment. They're desperate to fill a position and they look past this. That's a problem.
So step one is make sure in the interview process that you're on alert for the jerk.
Right.
Right. And I think, as Pat is saying, I don't think that they hire people intentionally thinking this person's going to be toxic, really toxic
really
to our work environment.
Up.
But I think people are, they want to look, they look past certain things as well as during any interview, everyone's putting on their best performance, right? right? They
it's
want
like
the job. Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one thing you can do is you can take them out to like lunch, do a lunch interview, something like that. See how they actually treat the servers
right.
or, you know.
It's always the best. It's a great thermometer. Sometimes I feel like when I was a server and guys would be on dates with girls, I would notice a lot of like, they would order for her
oh,
or like
no.
try to right. really like, I know
if your
food.
Candidate is ordering for you, then.
No.
Unless they have fantastic taste.
It was so nice meeting you.
Hi, Jack. It was nice meeting you.
He'll have the salad.
The salad, Caesar.
Jack,
he's trying to trim down a little bit.
I'm like, curious, Jack. I never was a food server. I don't think I could balance all that stuff, but you know, you see a window into the world of people, right? The way they, because
yeah.
food servers are one of the most mistreated employees in all yeah. industries. So I think that they're focusing on the person that's interviewing them. And if they're just being super disrespectful, mm-hmm. to me, that is a huge red flag.
Absolutely.
I think the other idea is to have a happy hour or something where they have to socialize with the potential staff they're going to work with. Huh. So you could get the vibe. You could get
right.
feedback from the other staff members like, hey, were they okay? You know,
but that to me seems a little risky, because then it could become like a little Game of Thronesy where it's like a little backstabby, a little like, I don't want them in. I don't want them threatening my job,
right.
my status. Like, I feel like...
That's true. Good point. Yeah.
Can you call like a reference or something and be
yeah.
like, what was their behavior like?
That I would like, absolutely use the references. I mean, I think the references are a great indicator of how the person's going to interact with other staff. You can ask those questions of the reference, not just, hey, are they rehirable or were
sure.
they terminated, but how do they interact with staff? How do they interact with support staff? Or, you know, get
the reference is probably their mom anyway, so you actually
right.
get like pretty good information.
Right.
The other
well,
thing, Jack,
he keeps
and
his
I,
room clean. I mean, he keeps his office clean.
It is funny.
Excuse me?
Most
be
most
right
people,
there, John.
Most people only ask about job performance, but I like that. I like saying, hey, did they get along with others? You know,
right.
if you mention their name and they have a recognizable gasp, you know, when
right.
you say their name, it's like,
or a
oh,
big
pick
exhale.
Up, if the reference picks up the phone and says Vandalay Industries, you know, you got some problems. So.
Yeah. Seriously, you have to go another
also,
route.
And Jack, just for a second, not to backtrack, but to your social events, you do have to be careful because you don't want everyone just picking someone who's the cool kid
right.
that is
yeah.
just like them.
Yeah.
You want
right.
them to, what I'm looking for is to see if they're respectful.
Social
if they,
interaction.
Yeah, social interaction. Yeah. But I think more than anything, trust your own instinct because
yep.
I have a lot of managers who later tell me, I had a feeling about this person. You know,
right.
They seemed pretty condescending. I took that as confident. You
mm-hmm.
know, so
mm-hmm.
trust your instinct on that is really important.
And
right.
We trust
also,
you.
I
we trust you.
I imagine that part of it, I mean, I know you don't want anyone who's like even a little jerky, but even if like, if they're not a front-facing job or like
yeah.
maybe they're, I don't know, like IT.
Absolutely.
IT.
Right. Or like they're in the back folding shirts, you know, versus being a salesperson.
Screaming at the folding board.
Jack is still scarred about folding shirts for Abercrombie.
It's left and right for
him. Hey, you at least have one of those folding boards at the Disney store. I didn't have one of those cool folding boards. I just was.
That's really hard to imagine.
Well, I'll tell you what. I would jam those, like, any shirt I had to fold was, like, wedged towards the bottom.
Yes.
Trying to hide a very poor folding job as a high schooler, you know.
Well, I did not do that, but I did do remote work.
And I was a little above that.
Yeah.
I've never done that. I've never folded.
You know, if you work on in a toll booth in the middle of nowhere versus if you were on the customer service line, obviously it's going to be important. Right. I don't want to hire any jerk, but also if that person's going to work alone and be their own island, obviously I'm going to have a little more latitude for that. So. Right.
Okay. So what if you then, let's say they're hired, you don't know they're a jerk. They were really incognito or, you know, whatever. And then you have them. How do you deal once they're in your midst?
I'm laughing because with four kids, how many times you guys have like dated people and then you're like, who is this person I'm dating after the third date? Like, you know, they morph into something else, or, they've been with you a long time and for whatever reasons they've changed, like you're saying. And so,
and whether that's something outside of work or the job itself, that's probably something to look at too.
Exactly. My first suggestion is that to communicate an expectation. And for those of you who said, well, Patty, we already have hired this person. It's not too late. You can communicate you can it this it. Afternoon, right? But say that being positive and a team player and being professional to others is actually an essential job function. I think that is very important to communicate. It's not just about your job. It's not just about sales. It's about being cooperative, positive attitude. That's an essential job function.
Right. Add it to those job descriptions. And as Patty said, you can do that now. You don't have to wait or wait till the next person you hire to have it in there. The other thing you can do is have it in your employee handbook. Have a policy that says that you need to have a good attitude, work in a collaborative environment, and also rate it on performance reviews. That's something that we don't see very often. Performance reviews are so focused on how the person's performing and their, you know, productivity, but attitude is a huge component and it should actually be rated on some sort of scale on those performance reviews. So that
I agree.
So it's a measurable thing if you have the language, if you have the language for it.
Right.
Right.
Then you can refer to it later.
The other thing, yes. And the other thing that is important about that, it's the same
thank you for the affirmation.
Yes.
No, but I'm just thinking out loud of all the things that I keep telling and reminding clients. And then they're like, well, we just don't have time to deal with attitude. And then that's the issue that they're spending all their time on is the jerk at work or the bad attitude. And I'm like, well, you're actually not spending, if you just done that and made it an essential. And a lot of people don't understand or they are confused by the fact that you can require someone to be positive at work. I mean, that's a reasonable expectation. I can't believe I'm actually saying it. What's that book, Everything I Learned in Kindergarten? You know what I mean? Like, you can.
I don't know if that's a book.
It is
a book. But it sounds great.
It is a book.
I want to read it. Except we spend a lot of time.
If you guys want sample language to put in your job descriptions or your performance reviews or your handbook, you know, reach out to us and we're happy to give you some samples.
Also, it's going to be all quotes from what I learned in kindergarten.
Yeah, I'm grabbing that book.
Shit. No, but email us. It's admin@mnwlegal.com. So.
Right.
So let's say, well, this isn't, this is not a one-off. This is a person that has a consistent pattern, right? So once you've put it in the job description and the handbook, what do you do? Like, that's like nice as like a backup and hopefully upfront people will read that and say, great, I know my expectation. But what do you do if once you've passed that stage?
There's a few things. The first thing is that if it's a lot of people in a department, not just one, we're going to have some kumbaya type meeting where it's like, hey, this has got to stop. We're not singling anyone out, but we're going to all talk about the way we're treating each other. It sounds like you're talking more about just the isolated person, the patterns continuing. To me, the first thing is not to let it continue, to nip it in the bud as early as possible. I really get frustrated when people say, well, that's just Bill.
Right.
You know, right.
Just ignore
it's
him.
Such an easy write-off. It's so annoying.
Right. It minimizes everyone else and their concerns and their workplace, you know.
Everyone has to then cater to that because we've right. all Bill. Decided that that's okay.
Like, right. Well, okay, so if that's Bill, then I quit. Now I'm going to go work for your competitor because
right.
I don't want to have to deal with Bill.
Because I don't right. like Bill, frankly.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to defer to my own unchecked ego while I make bracelets at home.
I love the bracelets. Can I see some?
It's a great. I've never made one, but I think I'm going to. Jeff could actually help me a little bit because he has so much training with beads.
Oh, Jeff, okay. He made beaded animals when you
I
were
made
younger.
A very... large lucrative. Profit. Yeah, I had a great business as a like fifth grader mm-hmm. making bead animals
JB
at the
beads.
Local pool.
And
yeah.
he would sell them at the pool. And
little
this was
lizards.
Great. Yeah, they were so they were really good. And I yeah. felt competitive. So I started to draw pictures and sell them at the pool, but no one bought those.
You didn't know the market, you know, and that's okay.
Yeah, people were looking for keychains.
Keychains, things backpack. To put in their backpacks to yeah. play with.
They weren't looking for fine art yet.
No, not yet.
I read it wrong. Yeah. So yeah, the main thing you're yeah. trying to do though is you want to coach them through
right.
yeah.
the behavior.
But we want to stop it for a few reasons. One, we don't want to minimize and just tolerate it. The second thing is we don't want to be held hostage. We also though the more you
I would love to be held hostage.
Not by
someone
Bill.
Someone tell me where to be.
At a bank.
Why do you want to be held hostage?
I don't know.
So. The other problem I see from a legal standpoint is if you allow Bill to act that way for years and suddenly you just abruptly stop it.
Right.
And it just happens to be when he turns 50. You know what
it's
I mean?
His 50th birthday.
Or when he has a workers' comp claim or
right.
something.
Just
you're going to have
a red discrimination
flag.
Claim.
Exactly. And so you gotta stop it early so they can't say, hey, it was all fine until
right.
X.
Well, you got to love it when...
Until he came out of the closet. It's like, okay.
No, but like you see it where like the person's on like FMLA leave. And then everyone's like, yeah, Bill's a real jerk.
Tool.
And we need to fire him now. It's like, well, he's on FMLA leave. Like,
he's been a jerk for 5 years.
Right. You've had plenty of time to address this. Right. I mean, coaching is huge. And that's,
right.
to me, where you have to start and do it promptly. But a lot of times, people aren't self-aware and they don't even know that they're being a jerk, really. Mm. They don't know how their behavior or certain things that they do is actually affecting other people. And so I know Patty and I have done a number of investigations where we talk to the person who is accused of, you know,
yeah.
being disrespectful to people. And they're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea.
They're mortified.
They're mortified. Right. And they're like, why didn't they tell me? Why didn't they tell me sooner? I would have changed. And I think, you know, your goal as a manager and as HR is you want to keep employees, you want to keep people happy, and you want to course correct so you're not firing people or disciplining them. Yeah, you right. may ultimately get there, but
you want to give them a
coaching
shot.
You got to give them a shot and you got to let them know mm-hmm. as soon as possible. And so those conversations are essential.
Right. So we're going to have this conversation. It's awkward. It is awkward,
it is
to
awkward.
Have this.
Yeah.
What I don't recommend yeah. is that you start out with, you're a jerk. Stop it. We keep everything away that's subjective opinions, personality indictments,
right.
mm-hmm. Overgeneralizations about right. everyone is talking about you or
yeah,
saying
right.
this. Everyone's scared of you.
Right.
We stick to facts, but we're specific and direct with the person. And we give factual examples.
Okay.
Right. Who, what, when, where, you know, like, hey, Bill, we're using Bill now. Bill's our guy.
Okay, Bill's our guy.
You know, you were telling people to stop, to get lost or stop bothering you, or you rolled your eyes.
Slamming
the
book down.
Right. Bill, you're emailing people in all caps, and he may be like, oh, shoot, I just don't know where the caps lock is.
Right.
Or I am yelling into the keyboard, and that's how
I am releasing a lot of rage.
Right. Where is the TPS report?
Yeah, exactly. Are you guys excited about the holiday party? I am.
I'm bringing the pot roast.
Whoa.
Bill? Don't be afraid as a manager to actually use the quotes. Don't use your air quotes, but saying you walked in and said, I have to do everyone's job. Everyone's
yeah.
so dumb. You know, actually give that information back.
Yeah, hard facts.
Hard facts. Or like when you were doing the Gollum, you know, you this morning you said, leave now, stop. I can't handle you.
Right.
Yeah.
Go. Because what will happen if you say, you're being rude, you're being a jerk, you're being hostile, is not factual, that's opinion, they're going to get defensive. And it's also not helpful.
It's also not anything to document. It's not valuable at the end of the day.
From a legal standpoint, it is zero. It is nothing. And so if we have to say, or if you have to say, well, what did they do? Or what did they say? Or why are you saying they're rude? Then you haven't documented enough. And again, we're not talking about written discipline, but before you go in to coach someone, you actually have to be prepared with factual examples. Right.
It's not fair to them. You know, if you just are kind of shooting from the hip. So
So get those examples. Get those factual examples.
Okay, what else?
The other thing is try and figure out, maybe there's a root to the problem. There's an issue. And ask what's going on. You know, short story, but we were with
Patty,
our mother.
Jack, is it like Jeff? Is it like one of your dreams? Jeff would always wake up in the morning and be like, I had a dream last night. Can I share it with you? And I'm like,
you want to hear it? God. You got 2 hours? It's about the length of Avatar. One and two. No, but we were at the store once when we were younger, and the lady who was, you know, checking us out was really rude. And I remember, Patty, you asked, you just said, are you okay? Did I do something wrong?
Yeah.
Or, you know, or are you all right? It was something along those lines. And all of a sudden, she started crying. It was like, I just had a really bad day. This happened. And then, you know, 30 minutes later, after this turned into this counseling session. The lines backed up through the, you know, to the back of the store. But you do.
She's coming home with us for
we're having pot roast.
Yeah.
Right.
Bill's making it.
And he's Bill's wife. But you need to ask that question. What is going on?
Right.
Because there may be something to it. And they may bring up, hey, there's something medical, or there may be, you know, a personnel issue. Well, you know, Donna's not doing her work, and so I have to do it, and it makes me grumpy. You know, it makes me mad. And so you're going to have to address those issues as they come up. But I think you need to get to the root of the problem. And there may not be one, but...
Right, but at least you can try to open the door and say, like, okay, if there is something... Now is the time to talk about it.
Right.
Because then we can come to some kind of understanding. Because I don't think, if they don't even know they're being a jerk, then they're not going to bring it up.
Right.
Right. You know, with regard to that person, whether Walmart, Kmart, whatever it was, I remember I used to, and you guys will too, because you would cringe. I'd say, you're being rude to me, or please don't be rude. That didn't work. They'd get defensive.
Right.
You guys would cringe and hide, pretend that
you
needed...
We watched a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it actually evolved to a, you know, are you okay? Or did I do something wrong?
Right.
And that actually triggered them to be more authentic in their response and be self-aware. So I do think that's really important. Now, if they say, I'm having personal problems or I'm having medical problems, I don't want a manager to be, tell me all about it. Say, you know, get them to HR, get them to an employee assistance program. Say, hey, that's why we have time off or leave of absences. But you know, you do want to ask, you know, is there something going on? Because you want to get
to
the
bottom
of it.
You can't bury your head in the sand if they tell you, like, oh, I got this. Oh, I didn't hear you. You have to send them to the right people. But
you
need to ask the question. Don't be afraid to ask the question as a manager.
Right.
Just because then you'll have a better sense of what you can actually do to deal. Whether it needs to be go to HR or they need to... I don't know any other place besides HR.
Well, the
jail.
No. The police.
The other thing is, Jeff and Jack, to both of you, is that you are trying to help them. You're coaching them. This is not discipline. And so it's like, how can I help you?
Right.
Because we can't have this. You know, it's disruptive to people. It's distracting. Yeah. So how can I help you so that you can come to work fit for duty in a mindset that you're positive and professional to everyone? Because that is what we need from you. But help me help you. Hey, help me help you.
And also, like, if they are a valuable member of the team, you don't want to lose them. So... You know, and that's right.
Right.
That's really good.
No, lastly, you have to be consistent.
Oh, yes.
You know, that's
yes.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, God. All right. You have to follow. You have to be consistent. Follow your policy as well as your practice. Make sure that you're actually doing what you guys have done in the past. And it's applied to all staff, even the high performers, even if you're afraid you're going to lose them. Because the reality is, if you lose someone who's highly specialized or a high performer, if they're problematic, you're losing productivity anyways from anyone else, everyone else. And so you need to be consistent, even with those people.
Right.
And this will then loop back to protecting you from inconsistent. If you are consistent, then if they say you're inconsistent because you're discriminating against me, no. I'm acting consistently to all staff. I'm holding them to the same standard.
Right.
I'm following our policy. A lot of
I'm rooting for you.
Yes, but
I'm all rooting for you.
But I have expectations, and that's applied to everyone. I think the biggest torpedo of all of this is when you let someone who's a high performer or that you're friends with on the side run the show and be a jerk. You got to be consistent. It will protect you legally. And it also will protect you from a morale standpoint, and you will actually be a better leader for that, right?
Absolutely.
And you absolutely. Quote us on that. us on that one.
By letting employees know up front, at the outset, you know, that it's not just about doing sales or operating equipment or writing reports or folding or whatever it is, folding clothes. Set those expectations. Don't let it fester or continue without being addressed. And then coach them before you even, hopefully you'll never get to discipline, but be specific and direct with them. Got to approach them calmly, though, without emotion, right?
Stick to the facts.
Because Bill's going to start talking to you in all caps.
stick to the facts.
Yeah,
exactly. You guys can do it. And yes, it will make your workplace better. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
can't we just all get along?
Can't we all just get along?
Well,
it's ridiculous. It's enough.
We'll have a coaching session afterwards, Jack.
I'm starting to get really pissed off.
Right. All right. Well, join us next week. We're going to be talking about workplace surveillance.
Ooh, yeah.
Big Brother's watching. Are you Big Brother? Yeah. What do your employees think?
We're getting a lot of questions about especially remote work with the webcam watching, tracking apps, things like that. So.
This is being recorded also for the
This is being recorded.
Also, join us tomorrow for the free webinar. It is the 2023 Legal Update and 2023 Workplace Trends, which there are a lot of trends. If you would like to register, it's not too late. Go to managementnorthwest.com. Again, this is free. If you register and you miss it, you can also have access to a recording of it. Right, Jeff?
Right. There's going to be a link in the bio to this episode that will take you straight to the registration. As well as if you're listening to this podcast on Wednesday and missed the webinar, don't worry. It's all recorded and you can use that same link to watch it. We also, once again, have our Essentials of Management training coming up February 7th and 8th. So join us for that. That'd be fantastic.
I will also be attending with a bunch of different names.
Bill. All right. Thank you guys so much and hope you have a mayhem-free week and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll
see you next week.
Okay. Right.
No jerks.
Managing Mayhem is presented by Management Northwest and Management Southwest and cannot be copied or rebroadcast without prior written consent. By listening to this podcast, you understand that we, or at least two of us, are lawyers, but we are not your lawyers. Therefore, nothing we say on the podcast should be taken as legal advice or considered to create an attorney-client relationship. It is solely meant for your educational and informational purposes. The podcast should not be used as a substitute for legal advice from an attorney licensed in your state. Please be aware that listening to lawyers can cause side effects such as migraines, self-doubt, and also maybe cure insomnia. But you know what? Trust your own judgment or you're not your mom.